cute.
Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we go in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with hearts lifted in hope, because the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. We confess that sometimes the shadows feel long in our world and in our lives. Yet your word reminds us that no darkness is strong enough to overcome the light of Christ. We thank you for the child who was born for us, the son that was given, our wonderful counselor when we need wisdom, our mighty God when we feel weak, our everlasting father when we long for care and stability, our prince of peace in a world full of turmoil. Lord Jesus, establish your kingdom more fully in us today. Where there is anxiety, bring your peace. Where there is confusion, bring your counsel. Where there is brokenness, bring your healing. Where there is injustice, let your righteousness prevail. Father, guide our church to be a people of your light. Help us to reflect your compassion to the hurting, your generosity to the needy, and your truth to the lost. We pray for the Christians in Africa this morning that are undergoing strong persecution. Bring them peace, we pray. And we ask for peace and grace over our nation, especially after the shootings of the two National Guard soldiers in Washington, D.C. this last week. Heal our land, O Lord, we pray. Now we entrust ourselves to the zeal of Almighty God, knowing that what you promise, you will surely accomplish. We pray all this in the strong and saving name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you here this morning. Crowd's a little lower than normal. Far be it from me to point out that if it was a home Packer game, 77,000 people would have found their way to the stadium, no problem, in these exact conditions. But I would never point that out. So good morning to all you watching at home. After a week of deer camp, my birthday on Wednesday, Thanksgiving Day on Thursday, and family hanging with us through the weekend, my jacket was a little tighter this morning. It's amazing how easy it is to pack it on and how hard it is to get it off. Lord have mercy. Amen. This morning, looking at Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 9, verse 2, prophesying of the Messiah to come. The people walking in great darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And then in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born to you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said was unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "So may your word be to me be fulfilled." And the angel left her. We are now in the season of Advent, which is the beginning of the Christian calendar. It starts now, the first Sunday in Advent. And then we celebrate some of the major Christian events over the next almost 6 months, ending with, of course, the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday morning, and then toward the end of May, the day of Pentecost. From Pentecost on, all of it is called the season of Pentecost. But now we start at the beginning of the calendar. We are now in the season of Advent, and we start with the candle of hope that was lit this morning. Every Advent begins in the dark. Before there was a manger, before angels sang, before shepherds saw light in the sky, there was silence, centuries of silence. No prophet's voice, no fresh word from heaven, just waiting. Boy, doesn't that describe a lot of our lives? Between promise and fulfillment. Between the "it shall come to pass" and "it has come." We wait for healing. We wait for answers. We wait for doors to open. And sometimes we wonder, has God forgotten about me? Israel felt that same way too. But in that very darkness, God sent a message to the prophet Isaiah. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given." Hope was born not when things were easy, but when things were desperate. That's the story of Advent. God works while we wait. Of course, we're Americans. We don't want to wait. We don't like waiting. I get irritated if my fries aren't ready when I pull up to the window. Just that we're programmed, right? Gotta have it now, 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 now. When Gabriel appeared to Mary, Israel had been waiting 400 years for any sign from God. Throughout the Old Testament, God sends prophets, all these events happen. But you get to the last book of the Bible, Malachi, in the Old Testament. And before this writing in Luke, 400 years goes. Not a word, not a peep, nothing. No revelation, no miracles, no prophets. 400 years they've been waiting for any sign from God. And then suddenly, heaven broke its silence. Not to a queen or someone of great power, but to a young peasant girl. "Rejoice, favored one," he says. "The Lord is with you." God always fulfills his promises, but rarely on our schedule. But when we wait, we're not being ignored, we're being prepared. There's a great analogy of the bamboo tree. If you plant a bamboo, no, we don't have bamboo trees around here. We've got mostly just tons of, you know, pines everywhere. But if you were to plant a bamboo tree, for 4 years, nothing grows above ground. And they have to water it and fertilize it. But then in the fifth year, in a matter of weeks, the trees shoot up over 60 feet tall. What was happening all that time? The roots were growing deep enough to hold the height and the weight that was coming. Hope works the same way. When heaven seems silent, don't mistake silence for absence. God is never late. He's just not done preparing the roots yet. Isaiah says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." The Hebrew word for hope also can mean to wait expectantly. So waiting and hoping are not enemies, they're twins. Waiting is how hope grows. Sadly, the word hope in our language has lost its meaning. Hope means to wait expectantly. Expectantly is the hope, the point. The way we interpret hope today is more like, I wish. Do you think such will happen? Oh, I hope so. But there's no basis of truly expecting anything. So the word hope has really been corrupted. The word hope means to wait expectingly. It's like when you order something from Amazon. Can't imagine anybody doing that this time of year. But you wait with hopeful expectation. You selected the item. You entered the address where it should be delivered. You selected the proper card for payment. And you enter the order. And immediately, you are filled with what we would call hope. You are expecting it to show up. Your confidence is going to show up. That's called hope. But if you never placed an order, and someone says, you think you're getting anything from Amazon? You might say, gee, I hope so. See, that's the way we've corrected hope. That's not what hope means. That's more of an empty wish. Isaiah's prophecy did not come during a revival. It came when the nation was under threat, the leaders were corrupt, their future uncertain. It was into that chaos that God said, a child is coming. Think about that. When the world wanted a warrior, God sent a baby. When people wanted rescue, God sent relationship. When people saw darkness, God lit a candle that would never go out. Some of you this morning might feel you're in a dark place. Maybe the darkness of grief, maybe the fear, maybe disappointment. But Advent tells us, be patient. Light has dawned. When life feels dim, don't stare at the darkness. Look for the light. Even one flicker of God's promise is enough to guide you through the night. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Gabriel says to Mary, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Hope is not an emotion. For us, it's a person. Every promise in Scripture finds its yes in him. When Jesus came, hope stopped being a theory and became a reality wrapped in swaddling clothes. And if you've lost hope this morning, come back to the source. Jesus is still called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not God far away, not God someday, not God I hope, but God right here, right now. And it changes how we live. Isaiah said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. This doesn't mean it doesn't depend on us, it depends on God. So how do we live as people of hope? Number one, we wait with expectation. Hope doesn't sit still, it looks forward. Like a child counting the days till Christmas, we live alert, ready for God's next move. If you're not knowing that, you're not living in hope. You're filled with desperation, darkness, and frustration. And we need to learn to speak words of faith, not fear. Instead of saying, it'll never happen, we say, God's not finished yet. The Bible says, in our mouths, our tongue holds the power of life and death. Are you speaking life into your situations? Or are you speaking death? Are you speaking death into your marriage? Or are you speaking life? It's amazing how dark people get in the way we talk. La, 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 la. It's like Eeyore. Oh, bother. Oh, bother. It's awful. And it's going to get worse. And then it does get worse. Stop it. Start speaking life into your situations. Speak words of faith, not fear. Instead of, it'll never happen, it's going to happen. God's just not finished yet. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Our language either builds hope up or it buries it. We become carriers of hope for others when we walk in hope. This world is starving for encouragement. Every kind word you speak, every act of kindness you give, every reminder of God's faithfulness plants seeds of hope in somebody else's soil. Hope is certain because God is faithful. Mary's final words to Gabriel were simple but profound. May it be done to me according to your word. That's the language of hope. She didn't understand everything. She couldn't explain how it could all work. And that's our problem. See, we get filled with despair and everything's awful. Because we can't figure it out. How's it going to change? It's not up to you to figure it out. It's up to God to bring it to pass. Quit trying to think it through. Speak life. She knew the God who had spoken what he said was faithful enough to do it. Hebrews tells us, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You can trust God's promises because you can trust God's character. It's like I was watching this week our house. All the kids are in town, and the little grandkids, Adrian and Santi. Santi, he's a case, this one. He's challenging everyone's Christianity at points during the day. But he's adorable and he's so cute. Anyway, he's there with his cousin Maya, and they were playing this game where he would climb up on this stool or whatever, and then he would just fall like nothing to it. And she'd catch him, and he'd giggle. Of course, he had to do it again. You can never do something once with them. You got to do it over and over and over again. But he would just stand there but even he got it that if there's no cousin there, he wasn't just going to go fall over. He's only a year and a half, right? He knew the connection. I can do this because she's right there. And we need to learn the same thing. How can we relax and let ourselves fall into the arms of God? Because we know that he's right there. Good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you for that word of encouragement. I don't know where I am. Talking about Stanley. Okay, here we go. Whatever you're waiting for on this Advent, an answer, a breakthrough, a healing, remember, the hands that hold the universe are holding you. So in conclusion, this week as we light the first candle of Advent, remember, hope whispers in the dark. God keeps his promises. It reminds us that no matter how long the night, morning is coming. Because unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name is Jesus. The scriptures tell us those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Hope is here. Hope has a name. And his name is Jesus. Amen. We're going to celebrate our time of communion this morning. Our ushers are going to get ready to come and serve us the communion. This is when we reflect on why we're here in the first place. In spite of the snow, Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. His body was broken, his blood was shed, so that we could have forgiveness of sins and new life. And that's what we remember when we take the communion. But the Bible says before we take this, because this is a sacrament, it's a holy thing. Sacrament, the word sacrament means mystery. You know, how does this work? I don't know. You try to figure it out, you just get a headache. But we just do it in faith. Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood. And this is what we remember when we take this. But the Bible says before we do this, we should always examine our own hearts. So with those words in mind, let's bow our heads in prayer as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, maybe did something we shouldn't have done, maybe something that we should have done we didn't do, if we haven't loved you with our whole heart, if we haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves, if we've been filled with grief, trying to figure everything else in our heads instead of waiting in hope, for the sake of your beloved Son Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray have mercy on us and forgive us of all of our sins. While heads are bowed and people are reflecting, maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, you know, I've never really done what you guys are talking about. I've never really experienced this. You can right now, in your own words, just whisper to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, come into my life. Fill me with hope. Forgive me of all of my sins. and you can start your first steps of faith with us here this morning. Amen.